Picking up the Gemara from Lamed Hem and Beis 6 lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, Gufa, we're going back to analyze the sugya of olive oil. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chinam Rav Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Shemen Desayas, V'varachon Alav, Boir Pre Eitz. Again, we quoted in the name of Yochanan that you make an olive oil, you should make a Boir Pre Eitz. Hechidam, the Gemara wants to know, what is the situation in which you'll make a Boir Pre Eitz on olive oil? So the Gemara says, "Ile medikashasi le." If it's just your stam drinking straight olive oil, so the Gemara assumes azuke mazik le. It's going to be harming you, and if it's harming you, Rashi points out that that's not called an achila, which is tahun a bracha, which requires a bracha. If something is physically harming you while you're drinking it, and it's not called an achila, therefore you wouldn't make a bracha. The Sana says, the Braisa, how do I know that it's not the regular way of achila v'shtiyah? So says the Gemara, because we have a Braisa that says, Hashosu shemen shel truma, meshalem es hakeren, v'eino meshalem es hachomesh. Someone who has, who accidentally, or takes truma of someone else, of his friend, so he has to pay a keren, he has to pay the principal, and then a chomesh, an extra fifth, which they actually assume is not really a fifth, it's a fifth of the total, which is really a fourth, okay? But you have to pay an extra amount when you drink or eat someone else's truma. So the Braisa says that if I drink the shemen, if I drink olive oil of the Kohen, then I'll only have to pay the keren and I don't have to pay the chomesh. Because by chomesh, we know that the halacha is only if you're actually eating or drinking in a normal manner, then you'll have to pay the fine. So since this wasn't drinking and qualified in a normal manner, you will not have to pay the fine. And we bring a proof from here that it's not the normal derech, and therefore you would not need to make a bracha on a regular straight drinking of olive oil. Says the Gemara, Hasach shemen shel truma shel mesakeh. Someone who anoints himself with shemen, that is with olive oil. That's the normal way. People definitely anoint themselves with olive oil all the time. So then the Gemara says, then you would pay the keren and the chumash because sicha kishtia, and it's like an achila, and therefore you'd have to pay the extra amount. So the Gemara says, again, but we're back to assuming that if you drink shemen zayis, you should not be making a bracha. So now the Gemara wants to give a different situation in which you'll make the bracha, and that is the following. You're eating the bread with, you're eating the olive oil with bread. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, if that's the case, we know that's 101 of brachos, is that if you have bread, you wash in the bread, you don't make a bracha on anything else that's not relevant to the meal, and you're eating the olive oil with the bread, then obviously you would not be making a bracha on the olive oil. But it's not. Zach, the Mishnah says, this is the rule. We're going to see this Mishnah a little bit, that any time that you have an ikar, you have the main part, and then you have something that's tafel, that's secondary to that part, you would only make a bracha on the main part of the food and not the secondary part of the food. So says the Gemara, you can't assume that you're eating the olive oil with bread, because then you wouldn't make a bracha on the olive oil either. So says the Gemara, el dekashati le'ada nigron. You're having it through, when you have it in beet soup. So you're having a soup, literally just means a soup. We're going to discuss which soup in a moment, but it's, you're literally having a beet soup, and that, this soup, you're having with oil in it. So the Gemara says, damar Rav Shmuel, a nigron, this soup is maya de silka, is cooked beet soup. And a nasigron is maya de kulashlake, is a mixture of different cooked vegetables. So we see that a nigron is this beet soup, and you're having it with olive oils. But the Gemara still asks, so if this is this, if you're having a soup with olive oil in it, then still you can have a nigron ikar v'shemen tafel. Then the anigron, the soup, is going to be the main part of your meal, and then the olive oil that you're putting in this soup is not going to be the main part. It's subordinate, and you wouldn't make a bracha on it. V'tafel v'tznat zeh klal kol shu ikar v'imot filim v'varchal ikar potes atfer. We have a rule that something, when again, like we said before, if there is an ikar and a tafel, you make a bracha only on the ikar. So says the Gemara, what's the case that we're dealing with regards to this situation of making a bracha on olive oil? Bechoshish begrona, where you have a pain in your throat, and therefore you're drinking the oil in the soup with the olive oil. So the Sana, the Braisa says, Hachoshish begrona lo yarana b'shem antchila b'shabbos. If someone has a pain in their throat, they are not allowed to... if someone has a pain in their throat, they're not allowed to just pour the olive oil and gargle it and spit it out. There's a halacha that some people are familiar with this, that it is an itzer derabanan to have any type of medicine on Shabbos. Why? Because Chazal or Gozer, that there's called gzeras shchikas shemanim, that you're going to grind real medicine. And therefore, we have a gzera that you should always not be having medicine on Shabbos. Again, there's obviously exceptions if a person's going to be a chole, if a person is in a situation where he's going to be chole and have to go to his bed, and things like that, for taking that you have to ask your rav. But basically, the kitzer, there's a gzera of never having medicine on Shabbos. So too here, even though the olive oil, there's nothing you're going to grind with olive oil, there's a flat out gzera never to have medicines, you cannot gargle it and spit it out. So it says the Gemara, Desanya, we're going to learn about Shemen Tchilba Shabbos. So nosin Shemen Harbe L'Socha Negron Uboleya. However, what can you do? You can make it with this beet soup, put a ton of olive oil in it so that you're making the beet soup the ikr. And in that situation, you'd be able to have the olive oil and be able to swallow it and gargle it and swallow the olive oil, in which case it's not nicker, it's not 100, no one's going to see and think you're having it for refuah. They just think that you're having the soup. So the Gemara says if that's the situation in pshita, then obviously you'd make the bracha of bor pra eitz on the olive oil. So the Gemara says ma'ad seima kevin d'rafuah kamachav and l'livrich alaklal kamash malan. What would I have thought that since this whole purpose of why am I having this olive oil is because I'm not allowed to have it in the normal way of just gargling and spitting it out. So even though I'm eating it in the context of the soup and it's still the rove of the soup, it's still a majority. It's a ton of olive oil and very little soup. Still, I would have thought you don't make a bracha because I'm just having it for refuah kamash malan. That in a situation where I'm having this for refuah, then even though my ikar is refuah, since I'm still having enough, I make a bracha in this case. Tomorrow, kimcha dechiti, wheat flour. So Rashi seems to imply that it's mamish talking about regular raw wheat flour. However, the Tosos seem to say it has to be a little bit cooked because no one in their right minds eats raw wheat flour. Either way, so it's wheat flour, either a little bit cooked or regular raw wheat flour. Rav Yehuda amar bar pri adama. Rav Yehuda says bar pri adama. But Rav Nachman amar shakol niyad bedvaro. So both of them don't agree that you would make either hamotzi or mezonos because it's not the regular form of this bread. So you're either making it hadama because it's still coming from the ground, or maybe you just say shakol because it's completely different. So the Gemara says amar le Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, again, Rav Nachman wanted to say that he used to say shahakol on this wheat flour. Lo tiflik al Rav Yehuda. Says Rav to Rav Nachman, you shouldn't argue in Rav Yehuda. Why? Rav Yochanan Ushmuel Kaimei Kavasai. Rav Yochanan and Shmuel both held like Rav Nachman. They both held like Rav Yehuda. So therefore, you shouldn't argue on Rav Yehuda. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, V'chein Amar Yitzchum Rav Yochanan, so both in the name of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, they both paskin that Shem Ezayin V'rach Lein Bor Pre Eitz, that when it comes to olive oil, you say a Bor Pre Eitz. We see that what, even though olives are normally in its eaten form, or in its form of a food, and if you decide to squeeze them and make them into olive oil, then you still say a bor pra eitz. So this should be the same thing with regards to the wheat over here, since it comes from the ground and you're grinding it up, you should still make a bor pra adama on the wheat. So the Gemara says hachaname avagad ishtanu b'milsakai. So the Gemara answers mi dami. Is that really true? Can you compare the two cases? Rav Nachman responds to them. That's not true. He says there's a fundamental difference. When it came to olive oil, I was doing the fundamental purpose. Everyone loves olive oil. So taking the olives and then squeezing them and making olive oil, that was the purpose for the olives. However, when it comes to this situation of taking wheat and then grinding it up and only making flour and not eating it as bread, no one's doing that, and that's not the normal derech, and therefore I would remain with my status that you say shahakol, and even Shmuel and even Rabbi Yochanan would agree to me. And I ask a different question on Rav Nachman. They say, is that really true? Your premise, again, that we have another higher status that you could bring it up, you should say a shahakol and not a bor pri adama. Va'amar bizir amar Rav Masna amar Shmuel. We have a memer in the name of Shmuel, again, the importance of Shmuel, because we wanted to argue Shmuel would be against you, Rav Nachman. Akara chaya v'kim chadisari, on raw pumpkins and barley flour, mevarachan al shakal devaral. So it sounds like that Shmuel was saying that on barley flour and raw pumpkins, you would say shahakal. So what's the diuk? My love, the chite bor pri adama. Why are you saying barley flour? Barley, we know, is worse than wheat. In the times of the Gemara, barley was only eaten by animals. It was mamish, very bad. So it sounds like the diuk is that dafka barley flour is going to have a status of shahakol. However, wheat flour would still retain its status of bor pri adama. That's the diuk that we're making from Shmuel. The Gemara says, so Rav Nachman responds, lo, dechiti nami shahakol nedvaro. Know that also, obviously wheat is also going to be shahakol as well. You can't make the diuk. So Gemara says, then, if that's true, the lashmin and dechiti vikolchik and desari. Why don't you teach me the case of, why didn't Shmuel then mention the case of wheat flour and not mention the case of barley flour? Again, he only talked about barley flour. But if there's a bigger chiddush by wheat flour, tell you wheat flour is also shahakol nedvaro. So the Gemara says, no, because if Shmuel had only taught me the case regarding wheat flour, that one I would have thought that's only regards to wheat. However, that wheat flour you make a shahakol because that's a very good food, and you're lowering it, you still make a bracha. However, barley flour I would have had them in again since it's only Michael behema anyway. So when you lower the behema, when you lower the status of barley flour, then you're only eating when you have barley and not eating it, and you're eating it raw in its state of just flour, you would not make a bracha at all. So says the Gemara, kamash malan, that you do make a shahakol on chite desari, and that's why, on kimcha desari, and that's why Shmuel had to say his chiddush. The Gemara says though, umigar memelach v'zama, does Shmuel really need to tell me that this chiddush, that you make a shahakol on barley flour, is it worse than salt water, or salt water? Disnan, ala melach v'zama, somer shahakol v'var, we learn, the Mishnah tells us that if you say, on salt or salt water, you would still say a shahakol. So kol shekein, you should make a shahakol on barley flour. The Gemara says, no, it's a salt, People generally sometimes will put salt into their mouths. They'll eat it, they'll put it in for food, whatever they might be doing, and they'll eat the salt. However, however, when it comes to barley flour, since it's unhealthy, it's kashala kikuni. Rashi says it creates worms in someone's stomach. Lo levarchla klal. I would have thought that you wouldn't make a bracha at all on this barley flour. Kamash malam kevin islay namine by brucha. That's the halacha was teaching us that since there's hana, you make a bracha. Continues the Gemara now. Kora. Palm shoots, or some say it's hearts of palm. Rashi seems to imply that it's more of palm shoots. However, whether it's hearts of palm or palm shoots, you give a little background. So when you plant it, the first, either if it's palm shoots, let's say, then only the first season till the winter is it, say, soft, and after that it becomes hardened and no one wants to eat anywhere. Mamish becomes like wood. So this is the shiloh of your korah. Rav Yehuda says you make a borei pre'adama. Amar borei pre'adama. And Shmuel says you say shahakol nudvar. What's the reason for both of them? Rav Yehuda amar borei pre'adama. Rav Yehuda says you say a borei pre'adama because perehu. Because at the end of the day, right now you're eating it in its status of the growth of the, it's a perfectly usable vegetable, an edible vegetable. However, Shmuel amar shahakol nudvar hovasop al hakshos. You make a shahakol because right now it's good, but in 3 months from now, in the winter time or whatever next year, whatever it might be, it's going to harden and no one would eat it anymore. So therefore, the whole purpose, the fruit, when it really becomes the ikar fruit and it becomes hardened, it's no longer edible. So says the Gemara, Amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina. Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda Shinina. He said like the sharp one. Kavasak mistavra. It makes sense to paskin like you. Dahat snun, because a radish, sofalish lahakshos, a radish will harden. And we've worked on a borei pre'adama, yet we still say a borei pre'adama, meaning that when you eat it in the softer stage, even though it hardens and no one wants it for that point, you would still make a borei pre'adama. Gemara says, velohi, that's not true though. Snun, niti inchi adaita de pulga. When it comes to the radish, people dafka plant it with the intent to have it as a pulga, as a soft radish. And therefore, you don't make you would still make that bracha. However, dikla lo niti inchi adaita de korah, when it comes to these palm trees, that people don't plant them with having in mind to eat these palm shoots or the hearts of palm. So the Gemara says, is it really true that where people don't plant with intent of eating this, we don't make the bracha? The ikar bracha v'arei tzlaf, when it comes to the caper bush, we say, why do people plant it? For the sake of the caper berries. Utnan, and what do we say about them? Al minei nitzba. This is the type of tzlaf. So on this type of caper bush, ala alin vela tomorrow's, on the leaves and like the date, like substances in the tzlaf, omer bor pre'adama, you say a bor pre'adama, valvionos vela kafrisin, but on the berries and the husks covering them, you would still say omer bor pre'adama. But what do we see? The ikar point is that on the alin and tomorrow's, you still make a bracha for bor pre'adama. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Amar Tzlaf, Neti Inche Adaita de Shusa. When it comes to the Tzlaf, they plant it with intention of eating everything that is sprouting from it. However, they obviously have an Iker and a Tafel, but therefore that's why you make an Eitz and Adama. However, when it comes to Dikla, Neti Inche Adaita de Korah, people don't plant the palm tree at all with the intention of eating the palm shoots at all. So the Gemara says now, so how do we pass it like this? Even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, the halacha is going to follow your Shmuel that says you should say shahakol on palm shoots. Big shaila now is whether we apply hearts of palm to the sugya or not, because either way, I'm pretty sure the Matthias is that the way that they make the hearts of palm, it's dafka the trees they use, dafka planted for the hearts of palm. So if it's dafka made for that purpose, maybe l'kuli alma you would say hadama, and maybe this whole sugya isn't even talking about hearts of palm, so that's a big shaila in the poskim. Continues the Gemara now. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So going and analyzing the idea of a tzlaf now, of a caper bush, shel orla b'chutz la'aretz. When it comes to a tzlaf in chutz la'aretz, so then zorekes ha'avionos v'ochel ha'kafrisin. You can throw away the berries and you have to throw away the berries and you can eat the husks that we said before. Again, there's three parts to this tzlaf. So the avionos. We assume that are their mamish part of the tree. That's the berry. That's the ikar part of the tree. However, the kafrisin, the husks are secondary to that. And since we're talking about chutzlart, we're going to see in a moment, then you're allowed to eat them in chutzlart. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? Lameima devionus perve kafrisin laper. That seems to imply that the ikar part of the berries are the fruit of the kafrisin and the pere the kafrisin lav pere and the kafrisin, the husks are not part of the fruit. So the Gemara says in Ramina though, we have a kasha on this. Al minei nitzpa with regards to the tzlaf, ala alim vela tomorrow's, on the leaves and the date-like things. Omer bar pri adama. You say bar pri adama. Ve'al avyonos v'al kafrisin omer pri ha'etz. And the avyonos and the kafrisin. Again, putting together the berries and the husks for bracha, where you say bor pri ha'etz. So we're assuming that since they're part of the ikar pri with regards to saying bor pri ha'etz, so too for regards to orla, you should definitely be machmir. So the Gemara says, no, who are we following? Huda amar Rabbi Yehuda. This statement from Rav was following, so Huda amar Rabbi Akiva is following Rabbi Akiva. What did Rav say that would be following Rabbi Akiva? The Snan. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, Slaf mas aser tzmar salyonos kafrisin. When it comes to Slaf, this caper bush, it requires to take meiser from both the husks and the berries and the date-like things that we mentioned before. But Rabbi Kiva says, no, in mis aser el avyonos bilvad. Rabbi Kiva says you only have to take off meiser on the avyonos, which is the real berries, however, not the mipneshu pri, but, because that's the ikar pri. However, with regards to the kafrisin, you would not need to take off meiser, and therefore he's passing like Rabbi Akiva that doesn't hold that it's a full-fledged part of the tree, and therefore you're allowed to eat it in chutzarts. But the Gemara says, then why not name halacha Rabbi Akiva? Then why didn't Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the name of Rav say that we should paskin like Rabbi Akiva? It's a lot easier to learn like that. Why did he come and say as a new ruling in the name of Rav? So it says the Gemara, I amar halacha Rabbi Akiva, if he's telling you that you would follow halacha like Rabbi Akiva, havi amina afilu ba'aretz. I would have thought even in Eretz Yisrael you should follow like that. Kamash Malan, that we're, no, he's not paskining like Rabbi Akiva, he's only being makel because we're talking about chutz la'aretz. Again, we're talking about orla because we're having orla in chutz la'aretz. Because what's the halacha? Kol ha'makel ba'aretz, halacha kamosu b'chutz la'aretz, aval ba'aretz. No, when it comes to everyone who's makel, when it comes to orla, we have a Mesorah that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is that you follow the orla, is you follow the one who's the most makel with regards to chutz la'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael, though, halacha, we would not follow that. So halacha kamosu b'chutz la'aretz, no, we would still be machmir. Rav was not paskining like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, only in Chutz La'aretz. So in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be machmir both on the berries and on the husks. Okay. So the Gemara says now. So then, what? V'nei halacha Rabbi Akiva b'Chutz La'aretz. Why doesn't Rav say that the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva even in Chutz La'aretz, meaning only in Chutz La'aretz? And then you would have the conclusion of the right halacha. The chol meikel b'aretz chozak mozaretz. And then I would know the halacha that whoever that he's just saying, oh, halacha follows Rabbi Akiva only in Chutz La'aretz, and everyone would learn he only meant in Chutz La'aretz and not in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, iam rachi if he said like this, hava mina ani mila gavi ma'aser ilan, that I would say this also. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva outside Eretz Yisrael only applies. That it applies only with regards to Meiser, because what? If Eretz Gufa Midrabanan, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Meiser is only a Midrabanan. The big machlokas are showing why, what we're referring to when he said over here, Meiser is Midrabanan, that the original decree is Midrabanan. Is it because the only halacha of Dagan Tiras V'Yitzar is the only Daraisa of Meiser? Or could you say that Meiser, and we're only talking about Bizman Hazeh, that Bizman Hazeh, since Meiser is Midrabanan everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, so then your halacha would be that you should be machmir, you could be mekel in chutz la'aretz. However, gabe arla devaretz midoraisa, when it comes to orla, which everyone agrees nowadays is still an isher daraisa, then therefore you would still say im chutz la'aretz nami nigzer, that it would make a gzera outside of Eretz Yisrael as well, and be machmir again, because if meiser started out as only an isher darabanan in Eretz Yisrael, then I would have thought you could be mekel in chutz la'aretz. However, when it comes to orla, which is an isher daraisa in Eretz Yisrael, then I would have thought you should be machmir. Kamash Malan, halacha is coming to teach you that we tell you independent ruling. We're telling you that this halacha follows by orla, and we're following Shitas Rabbi Akiva Lakula. So now we're going to relate to discussing orla. Gemara says Ravina Ashkelay Mar Baravashi the Kazarik of Yonos Kachal Kafrisin. So Ravina was following this practice of Rav, and he was eating the husks, and he was throwing away the berry parts of this caper. So the Gemara says Amar Lei My Daisach. What is your shita? Rabbi Akiva de Mekel, you're following Rabbi Akiva that's Mekel. So Vavin Mark of Beit Shammai de Mekel too. Why don't you follow Beit Shammai who's even more Mekel? And then you could even eat the berry itself. So how do I know this? This not slap when it comes to this caper bush. Beit Shammai omrim kelaim bekerem. Beit Shammai hold that it's kelaim bekerem. That when it comes to halacha of kelaim is you're not allowed to plant a mixture of any two different species together. So there's klaya kerem. We're going to discuss klaya kerem right now because that's the only halacha that we're bringing out. Klaya kerem is in a vineyard. You're not allowed to plant together with any vineyard, any vegetables. However, fruits, there is no iser. So Beit Shammai seems to be assuming that if it's klaim bekerem, that with regards to the tzlaf, the caper bush, you're not allowed to plant it with a vineyard, then it must be that it's a vegetable. Beis Hillel says that it is Bishamay says that it's not klein bekarim because it's a fruit, and a fruit is not subject to the din, the iser deraisa of klein. So with regards to karim, so Gemara says elu elu modim shechayev beorla, but both of them agree that it's chayev in it has the chiyuv of orla. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what's going on over here? How gufa kasha? First, let's analyze the braisa. Amar tzlaf bishamay amrim klein bekarim. We see that Bishamay says that it's klein bekarim to plant the caper bush. And in which case you would say that if it's an iser for klaim, what do we see? Alma min yariku, that we see it's a vegetable again, because vegetables is the only halacha that applies to klai hakerem. But then we write right after that, what do we say? Elavela modim shechayev orla, that both agree that you are going to be chayev in orla. What do we see? That's an analyzation. That if it's like orla, then it should be alma min ilanu, that it's evident that it's a type of tree, because we don't apply orla to vegetables, it only applies to trees. So the Gemara says, how do we answer Beit Shammai? Now halos kasha Beit Shammai sbuke misapil. No, Beit Shammai is really not sure how do we view a tzlaf. Is a tzlaf, is it like a vegetable or is it like a tree? So therefore, Beit Shammai is going to be machmer in both instances. So how do we get around saying that you should be make it like Beit Shammai? Because the following, Beit Shammai have a nice safek orla. It should be a safek orla according to Beit Shammai. It's non safek orla be'eretz Yisrael aser. In Eretz Yisrael, safek orla, because it's safek deraisa l'chumra, you have to be machir. Syria mutter. However, Syria, it's still only a din d'rabbanan, but it's a higher status because Syria is the land that David conquered. So it's some halachas like Eretz Yisrael, some not. So for this purpose, we're giving it the din d'rabbanan. You can be makil. However, if you have a safek, you cannot create a safek with regards to orla. However, chutzlaretz yored, in chutzlaretz you can go down to the guy who has orla, that provided that the seller does not see explicitly which orla, if he's taking beferish, he knew that it was orla, that'd be a problem. However, he created a suffix, even though that you knew that the guy had 9 orla trees and that one of them was planted a few years ago. You don't know which is which. You can have them, he can take it for you, and he can give you whichever fruits you want. As long as you don't know 100% that it is orla, because again, this is the halacha moshizina that we're making in chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says them. If that's the case, then when it comes to this safek that Beit Shammai says that we're not sure if it's like a tree or if it's like a vegetable, then we should be lakula in chutz la'aretz and we should treat the whole thing as a vegetable, and you could be able to eat both the avyonos and the kafrisin. You could have the bush, the berries, and you could have the husks. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, Malcolm, Rabbi Lazar, Avdin and Kavasi. When it comes to Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Eliezer, that's a real safek in din. We can pass in like Rabbi Kiva's lenient position in chutz la'aretz. However, Beit Shammai, Malcolm, Beit Hillel, ain't a mishnah. When it comes to the machlokas, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, we pass in that Beit Shammai is not even counted as a view that's even questionable, even somewhat legitimate. Therefore, we reject Beit Shammai, and you cannot be make it like Beit Shammai. So the Gemara now is wondering if we're allowed to, with regards to avyonos, on the orla tree. So the Gemara says, "V'tipiklei denasir shomer lepri." Wait a second. Can't you learn out that the avyonos should be aser because they're a shomer for the pri? Rachmana arla, and the Torah tells you, "V'arlatim es orla es pirio." We have a drasha that you shall treat the fruit, the pri, as is forbidden. So what's the drasha in orla as orlasim es orio as hatafel lepri? The s Pirio is coming to teach you that there's a riboy, that what's also not just the fruit itself, but something extension of the fruit. What is that, my new? What's the extension of the fruit? Shomer lepri, something that's protecting the fruit. So why don't the husks be in the status of the shomer lepri, in which case it should be usher and orla, and you should not be allowed to eat them even in chutzar. So Amar Rava, hecha min nasir shomer lepri. Rava wants to be taretz. When do we say it becomes shomer lepri? Hecha da esav imitalis b'nuchlubar. When the protection is there, when it's present, both when it's detached and attached. However, over here, hacha b'mechubar eser b'talos leisei, it only exists when it is attached, and when it detaches, you lose the husks. So therefore, there's no shayla, and therefore it's not called a shomer. The Gemara says, though, wait a second. We're gonna challenge this idea of that's not called a shomer. Esi ve'abaye baye zakasha from the Mishnah. Pitma shorima mitzarefet, the pitum of a rimon is mitzaref. What is this pitum? So the pitum is something on the top of a pomegranate, which they point out is something that's similar to like the top of the olive. I don't know what to call that, like the sprout that comes out of the olive, of the apple rather. So I'm not sure exactly what that's called, but that's what we're talking about over here. So when it comes to that, you can be combined lein and tuma. So for it comes to something that's tame, if it's a kibetz, if it's a shear of an egg, then it makes it tame. So this part, if you touch this pitma, it's going to be mitzarif. If the rimon and the pitma had a kibitza, it would then be tame and also transfer tame. So the Gemara says vanetzlo in a mitzar. However, the nates would not be mitzarif. The nates is what grows around the pitma, and we're comparing now the nates to the avyonos, the husks of the kafrisin of the of the tzlaf. So the Gemara says now, but from the fact that we say that the netz does not combine, alma delav ochu, that we see that it's not really a food. Still though, yet we still learn, it's not by orla, we still learn by orla, klipe rimon va'netzula, when it comes to the pomegranate and its netz, klape egozim agrinim, and also the walnuts and the shells, and also the pits, shayla, why the pits also, still though, chayavin ba'orla, they're all subject to the orla. So if the netz is not a food, as we see from the Mishnah in Uksin, it's still subject to the law of Orla, which means that we still view it for this purpose as a Shomer Lepri. So if that's the case, how does Rava explain his Shita? So the Gemara says, Elamar Rava, Rava is going to say, Hey, Chamina Denase Lehu Shomer Lepri. What case do we say that it's protecting the fruit with regards to Orla, and therefore going to be subject to Orla? Hey, Chad, the Ese Beshaz Gemara Peri is giving a new definition. When it's there at the fruit's completion, Hai Kafis Lese Beshaz Gemara Peri, when it comes to this caper husk, it's going to not be present at the time of the fruit's completion, and therefore, it is not considered like an issue for the orla, and therefore, you're allowed to eat it in chutz arts. The Gemara challenges this also. The Gemara says, "Eni, is that really true though?" When it comes to these date-like things that cover the dates, we say that they're asur mitzad orla. And because they're considered a shomer, the protector of the pri, and they're considered orla and it's asra. However, the Gemara points out when it comes to these maschile that are these date covers, shomer the peri masada, when are they? Only bekufra, only at the early stages of the dates. So yet we still see the kakarle shomer the peri. If Nachman calls it the protector of a fruit, so what you just said can't be the gedder for what we would call a shomer lepri. So says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Savla Karbiosi. So Rav is pointing out that you wanted to bring a raya against me from Nachman. Rav Nachman holds like a shitas yachid with regards to what's considered a shomer lepri. So it says, when is it? How do I know that? Because this Rav Nachman Savla Karbiosi, this not because he holds in the front of the Mishnah that Rav Yossi Omer smadar asur mitneshu peri. A grape bud, an early stage of a grape. So what does Rav Yossi says? It's asur mitzad orla, because it's still a fruit. And Rabbi Yossi considers the unripe fruit to be a fruit. So too does it, when he considered the unripe date part, that's the Shomer Lepri, even though it's only from the early stage. And still though, however, the rabbis disagree with him. And since the Rabbanan, Yachid Rabbim, we'd follow the Rabbanan. So it says, Rabbi, I'm not a problem. Rav Nachman's like a Das Yachid. However, my gedder that it has to be from the, not just from an early stage, is considered, Bishas Gemara Pri is considered the right gedder. The Gemara says that we're still going to challenge us. So Maskif Rav Shimon Menardar, Rav Shimon Ask Akasha, Uvishari Lani, me pleager Rabbanan, but is it really true that with regards to, maybe it's only a machloket with regards to the grapes. However, every other fruit, they would agree with Rabbi Yossi v'hatnah, because the Mishnah says, there's an iser in general, first of all, to cut down a fruit tree. However, if it's productive for you and there's very little fruit, the Torah allows you to cut down a fruit tree. So, however, in Shvius, even the exceptions would not apply because there's a halacha la'achla. A person has a chiyav to eat. Ramban holds his mamash a mitzvah daraisa to eat perot Shvius. So if that's the case, you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree. So the question is, at what point are you not allowed to cut it down in the seventh year if they're still with their fruits? So Bichamei says, Bichamei Omrim, Kolinos Mashiotsu, as soon as the fruit, they bring forth any fruits, even though it's very ripe and it's basically not edible, that's still usher to cut down that tree in Shvius. However, Bichamei Omrim, Hacharuvi Mashiotsu, when it comes to the carob trees, when they start forming these like chains, which is an earlier stage, Vagafunim, Mashiagria, when it comes to the grapevines, when are we going to say them? When they form grapes the size of a geura. What is the shiar geura? So the lashon is that the Gemara is going to define exactly what the shiar is in a little bit. The Gemara says, "V'tzisim mishiyad netzu." When it comes to the olive trees, when the netz develops around the fruit, "Ushar kolinos mishiyotzu." And in regards to the rest of the fruit, it's when they bring even earlier stages of fruits fruits. So the Gemara says, "Ramar Ravasi." The Ravasi says on this that a geura we're talking about who boser. Hu garua, hu pul halavan. Boser is the same as a garua, which is the same as the white bean. So the Gemara now just giving on a side point, asking on Ravasi's kasha, on Ravasi though, before we ask the kasha back to Rava, the Gemara says, pul halavan, salka daitach. Can you say that Ravasi literally meant that the white bean? We're discussing grapes over here, not white beans. So the Gemara says, "Ela'ima shiuro kipula lavan." When we said that it means that it, when Ravasi said "Hu boser hu garua pula lavan," meant the shear of this white bean. So there he's teaching us that the term boser garua are they're both synonyms and they're referring to the developed grapes. Once they have grown the size of the white bean, that is when we assume that it's usher to cut them down on Shvius. But going back, do we see that from Rav Asi, that a geruah is boser, the Mishnah, that it's talking about a later stage of smadar, and what? We see that man shmait leit amar boser in smadar lo. But who do we learn that he says that a boser is considered a fruit, but a grape bud is not considered a fruit? Rabbanan. We see that this is the shita of Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Yossi with regards to Orla. And yet, what do we see? They said that the shar kolinos, it comes to all other fruits besides the one we're mentioning over here, as soon as they bring forth even an earlier stage of fruits. And that would still be an issue of destroying Shemitah trees. And if that's the case, we see that they describe it as a pri. So too, shouldn't it be the halacha with regards to orla? And it must be that they agree with Rabbi Yossi that an immature fruit, a stage that's early, would be the halacha that you can still say that with regard to orla. So Gemara says, Elamar Rava, Hechiai, Eomrino, Davi, Shomer, Pri. In what case, Rava's basically, based on this, Rava changes the halacha. Rava says, when do I say that it's a shomer lepri? When, if you remove the thing that's protecting the fruit, then it's good. The whole pri is going to die. It's going to turn sour and be very bad. When it comes to the capers that we're discussing, if you remove the husks, the fruit itself would not die, and therefore it would be fine. Or just says a story that Hava Uvda, there was once they tried this out. They removed the nates, and what happened? The pomegranate withered and it became very bad. However, they removed the husks from the caper berry, and the caper berry survived. Okay, so that's what we say over here. Usually you skip what's in the parentheses, because here it's only from the Bahala Achas Gedolos. That's just paskening. That's not really the lashon of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara now. Pilpale, when it comes to hot peppers, Rav Sheshes says on these hot peppers, extremely hot peppers we're discussing now, that almost unedible. And Rav Amar Lo Klum, Rav says that you don't make any bracha. Again, we're assuming if it's shahakol, it's downgrading it for normal hot peppers, go from the ground, shayal dama. So everyone agrees it's not the derech. So according to Rav Sheshes, it's somewhat edible, so you could say shahakol. Rav says it's mamish not edible, so you don't make any bracha at all. So Gemara says, Va'az the Rav at the time, we see that Rav was lishitaso with regards to the following. Dama Rava. Rava says that kas pilpile biyoma de kipure putter. Someone chews this hot pepper on Yom Kippur, you're going to be putter, you're not going to be chayav for eating on Yom Kippur. Kas zangvile biyoma de kipure putter. Also, if you chew ginger on Yom Kippur, you're also going to be putter. So the Gemara asks, Akasha the Mesivang. We have Akasha from the following Brisa. Rav Meir, the pasuk says, when it says orlo es pirio, why does it say lashon of es pirio? I already know that it's an es machol. Why are you mentioning? Oh, I already know that it's a fruit tree. So why are you mentioning the lashon of es pirio? So the Gemara says, so elamat olmar etz. Why are we saying etz pirio, the tree of the fruit tree? We know it's a fruit tree. So etz machol. Rather, lahavi etz atam etz pirio shavet. It's coming to teach you that inclusive of this with regards to orla is going to be something that the fruit and the wood of the fruit taste the same. What is that? Vezozel pilpel. These are these hot peppers. Lam dechasha pilpel and chayav ember orla, to teach you that the pilpel is chayav be orla. Lam dechasha in Israel is chazer klum, and Eretz Israel is missing nothing. Because it's not going to be hard for you to have any bread. You're not going to be missing anything. So we're assuming that Rav Meir holds that it's really a food because regards to orla, it's a food. So my answer is lo kasha. When it comes to if it's still moist, then it's still considered somewhat of a food, and that was what Rav Meir was talking about. And Rav was talking about where it's dry, where it's mamish on a food, therefore you're part of Yom Kippur, and you don't make any bracha on that. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbanu Meimar. Is it really true that Rava said that if you chew ginger, you're going to be putter on him? Kippur, Vahama Rava. The Rava himself said, Hi Himlasa, this ginger, the Isami be Undia, if it comes from India, Sharia, Umivarchala Barpre Adama. What is the lesson of Sharia? That Rashi says that if you can eat it because it's not an issue of Bishul Akum if they cooked it for you, and you say Bar Priyabata because it's Nechal Kimush, if something is eaten the way that it's raw, it wouldn't be an issue of Bishul Akum. So he says, Lokasha Haberti Visa Hape Vishta. So then we answer, you're right, that's not a problem if it was dry versus if it was wet, okay? Gemara now relates a new case, Chavetz Kedera. What is a Chavetz Kedera? So Rashi says it's some sort of porridge with a lot of flour, honey, and oil, but it has a lot of honey in it. So V'chein Daisa. And also a Daisa, which again is some sort of wheat grits, okay? So those two cases, there's a Machlokas over here. Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda says you say Shahakol Nebivaro because it's not, well, we're going to see in a minute what the Machlokas, why he says Shahakol. Rav Kano, my Bari Biminizonos. So Gemara says, B'daisa Greida Kliyamalo Pligidi Bari Biminizonos. Everyone agrees on a regular case of Daisa. If it's just this regular wheat grits, you would say a mazonos. However, Kipliga, they're arguing with daisa ke'en chavetz kedera. When it comes to a daisa that is made as a chavetz kedera, meaning that it's cooked with a large amount of honey. When you have these wheat grits with a ton of honey in it, Rav Yehuda says Omer Shahakol, because he says Savardusha Iker, he holds that the dvash, the honey in it is the Iker of Kahana, or Barbadonos, or Kahana says the Barbadonos is the Iker, therefore Smidar Iker, he holds that the flour is the main ingredient. And the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yosef, Kavasit Rav Kahana, Mr. When it makes most sense to paskin like Rav Kahana, because so this would be that cloud that anything that has wheat in it, you would say mazonos. So here you should also say bar Okay, Adkan for today. We'll pick up tomorrow. Mirtashim.